get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Greetings, yes, Be Aware people. Welcome again to BBS Radio and Be Aware Nation. Thank you for joining us. We hope you all are doing well and excited about life and excited about the possibilities. Today's theme is, or is media the new religion? What is media? Last week we talked about, is being aware a religion? How many people look at the new thinking, the new thoughts, this whole new consciousness movement as sometimes a religion that infringes upon their religion. They have a bit of a negative affront to it. And yet we see by statistics that people are leaving the churches at record rates. These organized religions no longer have the hold that they once did. And that all has to do with, we believe, people's awareness. As people become more and more aware of their environment, inside and outside of themselves, they are more in touch with their knowing, their awareness, and they're making new determinations about how to interact, again, with themselves, with that deep knowing of self, and therefore those people, places, and things around them. And yet, interestingly enough, even the most staunch religious organization uses media. Media is the currency of our time. And media, is it really a new religion? Are we all enraptured, if you will, with media to the degree that it has become the thing behind the screen, the thing in the ether, the thing that controls how we process our information, to the degree that it's the most organized religion we could possibly know? And so that's what we're going to explore today. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Sally. What a great exploration, and how exciting to think in terms of being able to explore the actual transformative territory wherein most religions have always spent their time controlling, really, the realm where personal experience really actually happens. You know, last week we spoke about it in terms of the actual transformation that's going on busily inside all of us. That same sensibility that we can all sort of identify with on a global basis, you know, that there's certainly global warming. We're warming up globally to our collective consciousness, to our collective will, to our collective sustainability, as we spoke to last week, that the idea of a sustainable self is in everybody's mirror today, that the concept of using this newfound collective awareness in a manner that really begins to benefit all of us across the globe. And so that's an exciting and thrilling prospect wherein we're able to really finally look at some of these wildly esoteric concepts and theories in far more practical terms, where the ideas of some of these far out new thoughts are actually congealing around very formidable new functions that deliver a new definition within the new world for a new living experience. And that's what we spoke to last week as well, that perhaps the, you know, ways in which the prior belief systems that you speak to, wherein everyone's flocking out the doors in attempting to redefine themselves anew in this new world, really stems from the evolutionary forces that are present across the globe. Now, those are universal evolutionary forces. So, again, in the context of our basic work, where we speak to the cosmic trinity being represented by the living system schema, wherein it is the UOS, GOS, and POS. UOS being the universal operating system, GOS being the global operating system, and POS, of course, being your personal operating system. Those three things, working in tandem and in balance, deliver a living system schema of substance, merit, and meaning when lived fully and fruitfully. And so those are the challenges we face today in how to evolutionize, refine, reform, improve, expand upon the doctrines and dogmas and fundamental facilitations that have taught us how to live within all the books of all the belief systems. How do we evolve those words into new words that deliver us an expanded opportunity of an expanded self? Those are the challenges, and that's an exciting field of play. And so the thrill that we face today is sometimes misapplied and can be really looked upon really with a trepidation. We spoke about trials and travails last week as well, and juxtaposed those trials and travails against how to achieve that sustainable self, how to use the existing frameworks that we are aware of their fundamental weak points to shore up the kinds of infrastructure that we need to begin to implement our new understanding of this expanded awareness, of this collective consciousness that continues to deliver a more enlightened self. And we spoke about it last week in terms of the actual epiphany. You know, how to translate that ethereal euphoria that has been the bastion of the belief systems, the religions that have held on to the keys to the kingdom that deliver the kind of ethereal euphoria that is meant for the select few, that if you follow the rules and pay attention to the creed, then you'll be delivered in the holy day when you need to be. Whenever that is. And clearly, as we see, one of the things that was so fundamental and important to me last week was exploring the connection and the idea wherein how our interpretation of these evolutionary forces, when brought to bear on a personal perspective, on a personal worldview, if you will, and how that personal worldview gets expressed in a living system, then if it is indeed informed by any kind of associative relationship with a body of belief that was constructed to constrain our development, that was constructed to keep us from having our own free-form epiphany and therefore self-expressed ethereal euphoria that we could control and define for ourselves, that's what has shaken loose the bonds that have been created by religion. We explored last week what the definition of religion was, and that the original Greek term to bind us together in its rudimentary, primitive form as an organizing principle, really has held sway for too long in human developmental terms. and has been used to keep back a way of delivering our human understanding onto a broader stage that enables more of that innate human awareness, that human knowing, that human intuition, that human creativity to spring forth and to develop all onto itself in whatever individual interpretive manner that it might. And that's where the benefits of human development have sprung from. And we are here where we are as a result of a coagulation of all of those in some organized manner, notwithstanding all of those basic human rules of life, agreed upon principles meant to constrain us. You know, we live this sort of schizophrenic reality of, hey, I want to be free, but please control me. Hey, control me, but I got to get out. You know, that's where we all start whacking away at the opportunity to live free and autonomously. Can I be my own sovereign? And can I answer to myself for my own ethereal euphoria? And then how do I do that? As we explored last week again. You know, how do I define an interpretation of an impending a doom that looks like you referred to it in terms of the revelatory benefits that is what's that R word? Some form of revelation of you know, the significance of how in the world we're brought to a state of awareness. And what is that awareness called if it's not revelatory, if it's not an epiphany?
Revealing.
And so the significance of how do we define for ourselves these revelatory opportunities that seem to arise within our normal everyday living experiences? And then how do we collectively share that in a house of celebration? How do we celebrate that experience of being aware? So those are an awful lot of the things that we explored. And we explored why religion has held sway for so long, because of the very innate nature of knowing, that the significance of how we know, it's not a scientific formula that was pre-prescribed. You know, we didn't show up 10,000, 30,000, how many ever thousand years ago and start walking out of Africa with some prescription in hand, going, oh yeah, we know how to be human. I mean, clearly we don't. And we've done a fairly poor job of understanding our own articulation of what it means to be human in the moment that it's even occurring. And so the benefits that we face today really arise from this evolutionary force itself, this universal ethos, this universal intention to deliver unending love-filled goodness, which is really based on awareness of a collective consciousness that is meant to deliver a form of creativity that showcases how we're all connected, why we all celebrate ostensibly the same way for the same reasons, that our basic human intentions are all expressed the same no matter where we exist on the globe. So the global family has a similar common denominator in terms of its inspirational impetus. And so how we pursue how to live has an awful lot more in common than it does in contest. And we spoke about that because we spoke about the contest of the award season last week. And the nature of how to give ourselves an award for being aware. How to deliver an opportunity to ourselves to acknowledge ourselves, because there are no houses of worship. There are no places of gathering. There are no realms of revelation where the types of human experience that we're all having, where these epiphanies, where this awareness reaches a particular pinnacle, where we're delivered onto ourselves anew. There aren't many places where we can go and shout that out on the mountain. And so the significance of the way in which religion has been able to hold sway is because of its relationship to the one way that enables religion to be able to declare itself throughout this development of so far as humans, which is the idea of relation of self's relationship with spirit. That the idea of knowing comes from spirit. That the idea of self defined in human terms is in relationship to something we've identified as spirit, as spirit form. That these entities that are prescribed in the books of the rules of life to tell us how to live and who we're supposed to follow and why we're supposed to follow them, they are ethereal ether creatures, ether entities. They are entities that do not exist in our material form, and yet we are supposed to enliven our very beings with the same values and ethics and basic operating principles that are prescribed for these types of entities. And so our mirrored image of how and what we are supposed to do stems from this interpretation of the ether. And so we are already busy informing our personal experiences with ether communications that have been prescribed to us by the books that really govern the rules of life, that were the formation of the religions that were formed around the world. And so those communal groupings that found common belief and therefore common purpose, as they grew out into larger societies that needed the additional layering of the rules of law to create the type of organization necessary to continue development further, we're at a new crossroads. We're at a new place and point in time where we need to evolve a new way of describing a new form of governance that delivers this collective awareness into a functional form that we can all depend on, that it's going to deliver what we all agree to.
And therein is a dilemma when we talk about this form and therefore this dissemination of information, this collective desire to evolve beyond some of the current systems. We're not going to dismantle the existing infrastructure to the degree that we can literally have a fresh slate. I mean, when we look at the infrastructure, just for example, of the United States, of the freeway system, that was really came into its full blossom in the 40s and the 50s, that infrastructure in many places is aging and needs to be replaced. We can't stop life and say, well, this highway is completely shut down. We see how lanes are taken away and traffic is redirected. It's that kind of thought that we have to put into taking the existing systems and infrastructures so that we can redefine them with a new design. And that design, fortunately, we have an opportunity because of our connectedness now through media, really, that we can individually and then communally give our opinions and ideas for this design. So
That's right. I mean, the nature of being able to literally be aware at the level that we're talking about being aware is what delivers us the capacity to design our desires. And that, and media and technology today are the actual tools, the actual materialization that enables us to bring those thoughts, that creativity to bear. And that's what's so interesting in terms of why we're at this crossroads as well. That from last week, one of the places that we wanted to tie back together as well was that this idea that spirit, that religion has this ability to hold sway because of its personalization terminology, where self has a relationship to spirit. And therefore, the unknown to every one of us was delivered to us as a result of being alive. None of us showed up born onto a level and state of consciousness wherein we knew everything there was to know. We don't. And the significance of being aware of being aware showcases how little we know, how unaware we are. And the significance of knowing how unaware one is as a function of knowing how aware one is delivers the opportunity to recognize there is an unending field of knowledge still to know. And that if when I was born I knew not nothing and have become what I have become as a result of a lot of somethings adding up to what it is, then all of that known knowledge since acquired came from some acquisition. And therefore the acquisition of that knowledge that has been accumulated over time is really the significance of where we are at this crossroads of comprehending. Now that we are aware of being aware, and even therefore aware enough to know that the new science of understanding thought creation actually delivers us another layer of awareness onto the realm of human consciousness itself that still commands us to be able to deliver that understanding in a comprehensive enough fashion so that it can become as plausibly functional in our daily living experience as some of the spirit-bound principles tied up in the early interpretations of what was necessary in the rules of life that govern religion, that hold sway over our abilities to transform the frameworks, models, and structures necessary to begin to reflect our new understanding of our new selves.
Well, and so you really see the crux of the issue there when you talk about thought creation and our awareness of our thought creation, that we are observing our thoughts, that we have control over the type of information that we as individuals are emanating. Be it spoken or unspoken, it's still emanating. It's still an energy. That thought is an energy. And when we look at media in the context of being a religion, and in the negative side of that, a religion that seeks to control us, keep us in line, dumb us down, feed us the selected information, however implausible or horrific, we're going to feed you this information, says the media machine. And yet our awareness of our ability to be creating our thoughts, therefore creating the if you will, the etheric body that we are presenting in the material world that manifests itself through these thoughts and our action of these thoughts, that we have the ability, therefore, to pick and choose the kind of information that we want to be surrounded by, that we want to create ourselves, and that we want, in the most basic form, send and receive. What is the information we want to send and receive? And media has such a sway over us because, again, when you talk about the mirror image, we are the media. The media is us. We are a reflection of the media is a reflection of us. So it's only our own individual beings that can actually transform the design of the infrastructure of the systems through media. So media is indeed the currency of our time because it is the way that information flows. I am media. Media is me. There's absolutely no delineation. Again, we talked last week about awareness. The purest form of awareness, when one even recognizes how little knowledge they have, which is the cornerstone of awareness because it's infinite, and therefore rather than being a constraint, it's a again, to use the word, a revelation. It reveals to us the infinite when we are truly aware. And so in that awareness, we know the oneness. We know the interconnectedness. And so it is incumbent upon us to embrace this as we begin to reformat, repurpose our own thought trees, if you will, our own brain, how we disseminate the media in our mind into the design of our world, because our world, our individual world, is the only thing that we have absolute and ultimate control over. It's how we create our own thoughts and our own actions. And so how we interact with those existing systems and discern the way that we can contribute and therefore evolve these systems.
It's so true. The nature of our basic organizational mantra that speaks to this at its core is merging medias into minds that matter. And the significance of that is really about this relationship of self and awareness. In an earlier show, and we've spoken to it because it's a core tenet that continues to showcase itself in our process, each and every one of us. The significance of is being aware of religion, which would presuppose that being aware is a single unified source of experience. And as we've already articulated previously, when does the being become aware? Where do they exist separately? And so the significance of how to identify self as being separate from awareness is what brings us into contact with all of these principles of thought, because it's self having thoughts of self, self's relationship to its understanding of its experience. And therein lies the conundrum, because self has grown to such an expanded state that the mirror of self now used to define itself is the media. We have allowed this amorphous term, this amorphous etheric entity that operates purely in the ether, to seize command and take control over our own personal interpretations of self. And yet, the significance in which the ways we have done so don't constantly remind us that we've handed our autonomy and sovereignty over to some unknown, unstructured, and even unidentified entity other than the amorphous media. And so, as our understanding of self continues to be brought to bear through the expanded knowledge that science speaks of its own awareness of its own process. Remember, as we spoke about last week again, like Sally said, the significance of self defining itself in science is, remember, the scientists are all selves. They were all babies too that were born and didn't know anything. And so they're just aggregated units of knowledge that have formed some organizing principle around their body of knowledge and applied it in a particular organized fashion, and created a system out of it, and it's science. And so all scientists are selves in process of discovery. They may use a interpretation of themselves in that discovery process in much the same way someone would use their interpretation of spirit to inform them, because the knowledge that comes into our brain, our mind, our being, that forms our level of awareness, our level of knowledge, our level of information processing acuity that can deliver an enhanced, sophisticated experience, is scientific in nature. And so nature itself has provided the basis of all scientific understanding. And so nature itself is the reflective tissue that forms the mirrors that we all use, whether we define them as spirit or science, to reflect an experience off of nature that assigns value to our each individual ideas of self. And so, really, the significance of why we've focused so much attention on using these words, merging medias into minds that matter, to describe our core intention throughout our entire body of work, was because our own personal state of awareness caused us to seek to identify what was our core motivation, what was our own personal interpretation of self's idea of itself, and where did that idea of itself find its brightest, most enlivened, most engaged sense of itself, wherein we could literally renew our living experience from the fountain that is present in that cellular material
to refuel at every turn because it was so fundamental to our being that it was the basis of our fuel, the basis of our process. And that was merging medias, our awareness, our knowledge, our acknowledgement that media had become the currency of our time. That we had assigned a particular moral, ethical value to the way in which media informed our processes and delivered information and entertained us and made us feel whole. Sounds like a religion to me. Sounds like every religion ever defined.
And when, how does one get their message out? Well, in media, more often than not, it is supported by messages that are enticing us to purchase a product of some sort. And so there comes the advertiser. Then we get in now to the layers of the media. And it's not that, as we've spoken about before, human commerce is the most fundamental, pure form of how, talk about science, talk about spirit, it's how information got exchanged and shared. And in the very beginning of time, when man began to walk and he could begin to travel, he then interacted with other humans and they exchanged their ideas, their products, their services. They bartered. They had exchange. They had intercourse, which is actually the term of commerce. It's, you know, human interaction. And so this is how we began the template to communicate through exchanging goods and services. So there's nothing untoward about it. It is our natural way of serving each other, of sharing with each other.
It's the basis of communication, fundamentally, at its core. The material necessary to deliver a message.
We live in the material world, and therefore the exchange of material nature is imperative to our existence. But when we look at the current media machine and the advertiser who at any cost would want us to believe their message. And we've all come to know that many of those messages are not in our best interest. That many providers of goods and services could care less about our best interest. They only care about their bottom line. Again, not all advertisers, not all companies, but many. Many have been deluded with the powerful return on investment that they get through using this media to disseminate their message. You know, the China, there's going to be the Olympics in Beijing. And they're all excited in China because it used to be that villagers in rural China would gather around a building where there would be one newspaper taped to the walls, and everyone would go there, and that is how they'd get their news, on this one wall with a shared newspaper. And now that people have cell phones, mobile phones, they can get their information through their own individual unit. And the excitement that the Chinese government is telling everyone that our people are so connected now that we're going to be using the Olympics as our springboard to actually make sure that we can connect as many people as possible and, of course, give them the message that they want to deliver. Because as we know, in many areas of the world, there's still a great deal of censorship. Well, excuse me, everywhere in the world, you know, here, our own media, we are censored, and we are given messages that are very adroitly programmed to drop us a subconscious droplet of information that will then set the seed in our mind that then can be watered and grown into the way that they would like us to think. So, but I mean, obviously, we think of ourselves as having much more freedom, and we do, to whistleblow, if you will, on media that is not in our best interest. Because when we talk about media is me, I am media, and the ability of technology for us to actually take our own thoughts and find a way to create a manifestation of those thoughts within the current media is phenomenal. And that has given us all kinds of awareness because of the connectivity. So, again, this conundrum of how do we refine our relationship to media?
The significance of really taking advantage of really how these new media devices are beginning to act as the new mirrors of self. They're the extensions of the media machine. They therefore are the extensions of ourselves. We are the media. We created the media. We have created the infrastructure that we use to define ourselves. And so the significance of this relationship that we have with media, the basis of what our basic understanding within how we frame this, why we use this term, merging medias into minds that matter. The idea of a personal operating system that functions within the global operating system, that is guided by the universal operating system, delivers a living system schema that understands, comprehends, and takes command over the media machine so that it is used to define and describe our own personal experience. We are the ones who live in the global operating system. We are the ones who are interpreting the universal operating system. We are the components that have aided and abetted the creation of this material that is now the media, that is now used to reflect my personal experience in such a way that I'm capable of holding a device in my hand and having a personal expression that mirrors my own personal ethos. Remember, ethos is our personal character. In our world, is it an acronym that stands for ethical thoughts, honoring our spirits, that can actually be expressed and displayed in personal form in our new handheld media devices now available around the globe. So that's the fuel that is now in place to become the wave of transformative energy that we spoke about last week, that the Armageddon, the revelation, that redemptive moment that we've all been waiting for is busy happening right this second. We're in the process of transforming into a new being. All we need to do is come up with new ways of defining and describing it. What merging medias into minds that matter means is taking that command over those language links that are used to form those communication carriers. Remember messages. That fundamental messaging, the science of messaging, that they have now come to a sophisticated understanding of, brought to bear as a result of having an expanded awareness and understanding of how the brain functions and what the science of thought creation is all about, and therefore how those thoughts translate into messaging centers and beacons onto themselves, and therefore how those thought beacons can be manipulated to form patterns that mirror the way the human brain functions, so that the science of messaging can be constructed in a way to cause us to believe we're having our own personal autonomous experience, when indeed it's exactly the way they prescribed it and exactly what they would like us to do. Now, if that's the way that you personally have aligned your understanding of your own personal expression and interpretation of self, then hallelujah, have at it. Sing praises. That's something to celebrate. But if it's not, that's something to be aware of. And that's why we also say being aware is a state to put your mind in. Because the media machine is busy working overtime to make sure that they command and control your attention and willingness to engage. Sounds like most religions.
Well, and interestingly enough, to engage, let's, you know, refine that statement, because sitting in a church pew in a traditional sense of being preached to, it's not a very interactive experience until you sing the hymn or kneel down and you know. So there's not a lot of interaction. And so if you're watching a television as an example, it's not a very interactive experience. You are simply receiving the information that is being given to you. Of course, you can choose to not pay attention, to process it in any number of ways. You know, the human attention span is not that long. But you're still getting these subliminal messages of the media. And so what you're saying is a proactive awareness. The word system itself, if it's a personal operating system, if it's a global operating system, if it's a universal operating system, our bodies are a system. Everything is a system. That is not a static word. That implies movement. It is constantly changing and evolving, and there's all kinds of things going on that we're not even aware of in our own bodies. The magic of our body, the magic machinery of our system. And so we mustn't take for granted the fact that just because our body can function without us being absolutely conscious of every little thing that's going on in every nanosecond doesn't allow us to not be conscious of our consciousness and our relationship to how we're going to use this body on this earth and be aware of how we are going to have a relationship with media, with information, and be in command of that.
It's so vital to know that the fundamental aspect of being alive today means that you must come in contact with an enormous flow of media messages. To suggest that media is a new religion, well, if it's not a new religion, then it's something a whole lot more powerful than religion. And it showcases to us pretty clearly why all religions have taken root in so much of media today to use the tools and skills and fundamental protocols that media delivers, that enables a delivery system to take command over our senses. Again, these are all ways in which, you know, the fundamental aspects of being were interpreted by religion. And so I use the concept and context of associating this definition of an analogy with religion because religion still fundamentally guides all of us. It's the fundamental ways in which we know the rules of life that are the patterns of our very being were formed. And so the very formation of those rules of life, if they be governed by our understanding and interpretation of the principles and protocols placed within our operating sphere by religion, then perhaps by identifying what those basic principles of operation are in accordance with religion, then perhaps the overlay of seeing and examining how we have assigned value to those things that religion delivers us, because it was a shared experience. We said, okay, religion, if you deliver us the values that we expect for our community so that we can use those to grow and flourish, then we'll associate with you and we'll pay heed to you. And so that's what religion did. And so now that media has taken over so much of that functionality and capacity to deliver to us the rules of living, then it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to be aware of the media that we expose ourselves to, and more importantly and most importantly, is to the media our children are exposed to, which grows daily, which means that the messages that are entering our information pipe are becoming coagulated to the point that we call it chaos instead of command it, so that we can discern it, so that we can understand the complexity that is present in our experience, so we can begin to enjoy the complexity, appreciate the value that nature has in the depth of its wonderment, so that our expanded sense of self delivers a joyful and happy experience of living. That's what Be Aware Nation is all about. We really are intending in looking at the depth of the layers of our human experience and looking for ways to describe and define them so that we can declare them out loud, so that we can share them openly and fruitfully, so that we collectively can have a much richer, more creative, and therefore more fulfilling communal experience. And that's what we believe is possible when you seize command over your experience of self by being aware, by committing yourself that being aware is a state to put your mind in, is a living principle, and that you operate the basic protocol of that approach to living by merging your media into a mind that matters, so that you deliver yourself an experience that's worthy of having. And that's what we want to share with you on an ongoing basis, and look forward to another week where we get to explore more out into the world and find a way to express and share and declare this with you next week. And in the process, we will be at BeAwareNation.com, so please come and join us. And in the meantime, we'll see you in the ether.
We'll see you in the ether. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.